think you said Freddie, but I know you've been saying it's going to be close. Really,
I think it's close. I think it's close, but I also believe that Freddie, you can focus on his game sevens, yes, but he wasn't the only guy who's had a couple tough game sevens. Like, there's other guys that contribute to that as well as the team, but he's got a wealth of experience. And that's the thing. This is a guy who's played in 48 playoff games. He's won playoff rounds. Yes, it hasn't been in Toronto. But, you know, is this the year he breaks through? Like, I think he's capable of it. He's a standalone starter where the other two are a tandem. We might be having a different conversation a year from now if Elvis projects and pushes through to what we believe he is as a goaltender. Like, Elvis at one point this season had 5 shutouts in 7 games. Now, I know they're a very defensive team, but that's pretty tough to pull off. Like, he's a hell of a young goaltender. And I say young, he's 26.
Is he playing for sure? Have they announced
who's
playing?
I don't think so. I'm not convinced that Elvis is starting. I Korpisalo started last night, if you take anything into it.
Right.
Elvis came in the second half of the game. I'm not sure what these teams are doing. You know, Koskinen started the other day in Edmonton. Smith came in halfway through. Shesterkin started with the Rangers. Lundqvist came in halfway through. Some of these platoon system, Mrazek did it, and Reimer came in. Like, I don't know if it's the coaches trying to mess with the other coaches or, you know, the guy they're leaning to gets the start. I really don't know the logic behind it. Same thing with Talbot and Riddick in Calgary. So we'll see, because there is going to be, I don't know if there's some surprise starts, but, you know, who do you think is going to start in Calgary? You know, Talbot played 22 games for Calgary last year. Started 22 games. Like,
right.
Is he going to be the guy?
Assumed it would be Riddick, but that's why I was surprised when Talbot got the start.
Right. But the thing is I give the nod to Freddie Anderson. Like, he's a standalone starter. He's the guy. He's Toronto's guy. He's played in the playoffs before. Elvis has never started a playoff game. Neither has Korpisalo. So they've got 0 games experience. So they're going to get their first taste of it. So I'm giving the nod to the veteran and the guy who's capable of doing it. He just has to back it up.
All right. Well, I hope that I don't know rings if that's, true.
Is that no, good
I
logic?
I think that's absolutely logical, and I agree with it. You know, I've been stating for quite some time, ever since we knew who they were playing, this is the series Freddie Anderson has got to be the better goalie, and he should be the better goalie. He wasn't necessarily expected to do that against Tuukka Rask, though he had all the ability to do it, and maybe we let him off the hook. Maybe it was just, what do you want? It's the Bruins and it's Rask, and the Leafs always find a way to blow it. Well, Freddie, you know, maybe he should have been expected to do more. But I don't think there's any wavering this year. For me, it's all about Freddie Anderson being the better goalie and performing better and producing more and winning. Anything short of a series win is a failure. You know, for his team, and it's not only on him, clearly. I mean, you can't expect them to make 50 stops a night, but I don't expect the team to play that way. You know, I think they'll continue to play likely the way they played throughout the year. They're going to give up some opportunities and give up some pretty good chances, and Columbus is a team that's going to sit back and wait for them. You know, they may not force them out of you, but they'll wait for you to make a mistake, and then they'll pounce.
I don't know if you got a chance to watch Columbus play yesterday.
They look pretty good what I saw. I didn't see all of it.
Well, they work hard, and that's the one thing, like, you know, I said this, I believe the Leafs will win, but I think it's going to be a Game 5 situation, and I think it's going to be, hey, like, you know, we need to dig in. But, like, this is not, I don't think it's the greatest matchup for the Leafs, just because I think the way that Columbus is built, they almost have more of a playoff-built team, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah, they're even conventionally built, yeah.
Yeah,
they're Boston, in a way. They just don't have as much firepower.
Right, but here's an example. Last night, Cam Atkinson, who has scored 40 in the league, but let's say he's more of a 30-goal scorer in that range. He goes offside on a 3-on-2. He's yelling at the ref. Like, he's, you know, their skill guys have a different, I guess, a different mentality. Like, they're not just pure skill and, like, floating around out there and you know, like, you know, cut from that cloth. They've got some grit to them. Dubois has grit, Boone Jenner, like, even Foligno, you know, like,
for sure
they've got some bite. So
very much like, you know, Boston light in a way. They just don't have Pastrnak, Marchand, you know, they don't have that level of talent
Up front on the back end. Sorry, go ahead.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. I'm sure we've asked you a million times, but refresh our memory. We're two nights out. How do you feel about this matchup for the Leafs? You know, the way Columbus is built, the way they play, what Noodles was just saying.
Well, it was certainly as big a contrast in styles as, you know, as you could have. And, you know, certainly when Panarin left and went to the Rangers, that was a way, way, way bigger loss than Bobrovsky. And it seemed at the time that people were comparing the two, that, you know, it would be equally as big, and not even close. And, you know, they weren't able to replace the craftiness and the high-end skill that Panarin had. And they signed Gus Nyquist, and Nyquist's a nice player, but he's not Panarin. But I think, guys, like, at the start of this thing, it almost seems like, because nobody's really going to be super, super sharp, that the offensive guys, in my mind, will have a little bit of a leg up on the teams that grind it and play a really structured game. Now, I don't know if Columbus plays that anymore. Like, they seem to have opened it up a bit. They certainly want those D, in particular Werenski and Jones, like, flying up into the play. And I would say it's a bit of a misnomer to think they're a lock-it-down team, but they're certainly a harder, more blue-collar team than Toronto. I think Toronto's skill, for sure, early in the playoffs, this play-in round, whatever you call it, or is going to be a big advantage for them.
Yeah,
that's
what they're banking on. That's why they got paid, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but I mean, like, even, sorry, Jamie, I think even more so, Brian, like, because they've been off for so long, it's like the start of the year, this kind of is the start of a season. And at the start of every year in October, we all get jumping up and down because all the games are 6-5. Because the skill guys seem to be, you know, a little bit ahead of everybody else. And I kind of feel like that could happen. And if it does, certainly that's great news for the Leafs.
Yeah, it favors Toronto in that way when the games open up, because they're built that way, especially with the high-end guys, right? Like, they're not shy to, you know, doesn't seem to be a lot of physicality. Now, we'll see if Columbus changes that. That's the one X factor for me, is Columbus can skate, but they're physical. And will the Leafs be able to battle through? It's not about fighting, and it's not about, but it is about, you know, taking a hit to make a play, about winning a 50-50 battle. That's the one detail when I look at Columbus, and that's a Tortorella team. It's almost like he must have had a hand in building this team. You know, Kekalainen is a really good talent evaluator, but I think Torts may have had, like, maybe a say of a couple players, because comes to mind, like Sonny Milano, for example, highly skilled guy, but, you know, all of a sudden he just didn't seem like a Torts guy. And they had some other players push through that made him expendable. But ultimately, I think the Leafs can have success if their skilled guys are willing to compete hard against those Columbus players that they're going to push you for every inch of ice.
That's why I think this is actually a better setup for the Leafs and a better opportunity, because of what we keep hearing from them, that they hear the narrative, they hear about their reputation. Well, here's a perfect example to go out and prove that you are strong enough to push through it, you know, mentally, physically. No one's saying you got to morph into the Broad Street Bullies. But if you're going to prove that you can play any possible game, and if you're going to win a Stanley Cup, you have to, right? Like, every round is different. Every round's going to throw a different curveball at you. You're not going to get a team that is built just like you every single year. It's never going to happen. So here's an opportunity with a team that doesn't have as much skill, like Boston can, where Boston can just bury you because they might play a skill game on you. But they're going to work. They're going to make you work. Prove that you can work. And if you can do it, you can win.
Yeah, Dubois was their leading scorer. What do you have, 50 points?
Right, exactly.
Right.
Like, the crazy part about Columbus is, like, every time they would lose somebody, it seemed somebody would come back in the lineup, and that guy returning would give them a little blast. Like, Atkinson, you mentioned, Jamie, he was hurt a lot of the year, like not quite right. They lost, like Korpisalo started out great, then he got hurt, and then Merzlikins came in and he was great, and then he faded and Korpisalo came back, and you know, Ryan Murray's in and out of the lineup all the time with injuries. A poor guy just can't quite get healthy. But the place I think will be really interesting to me to watch is, so the Leafs sit, you know, up the middle, with in particular Tavares and Matthews, is how Columbus will match centers against them. Like, will they play Boone Jenner against Matthews and Dubois against Tavares, or flip those guys around? Because the other centerman, they got Alexander Wenberg. They signed him to a six-year extension a couple of years ago. And I don't know what's happened to the kid, but he never, ever, ever, ever scores. Like, I don't know what's happened to him, because he was a pretty talented player. But he's with Atkinson. So I think there's a real matchup plus for Toronto up the middle of the ice.
Right.
The blue line, we'll see. Like, you know, they keep talking about, you know, we've had time, we've worked on our systems, we've done this, we've changed this, we're healthier, and they're one of the worst teams in the league defending the cycle. And Columbus cycles pretty well.
Right.
Like that's going to be a lot of a challenge for Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right, and you know, all the cliches, I feel like they're amplified even more because it's a best of five, right? Like, the importance of winning game one, it's almost like you win a game and a half compared to, like, conventional logic. You get that first game, you're starting to feel it. Like, and then it's like, okay, we're used to what's going on here, and we like it. You know, we can deal with this. No fans. It's all good. So, you know.
Well, you're right, Brian. And just think about it. Here's another scenario. Like, if a goaltender steals a game, like, that's what's going to happen in one of these series where a team plays outstanding. Like Vancouver the other night. Vancouver played really well, I thought, against Winnipeg, but they didn't beat Hellebuyck. And all of a sudden, now you're down 1-0. And then the team, you know, then Winnipeg, for example, goes, well, we got to back up our goaltender here. Let's play a little differently. Let's knuckle down here. And then they win one for the goaltender. Like, Brian, I think you hit the nail on the head when it comes to how short this series is. Like, you got to win three games. That's it. And it's a sprint. So there's no wading in and going, you know what? Like, the goalie stole that one. We'll get the next one. Like, to me, there will be a ton more pressure on some of these teams that are expected to win if they lose game one.
And nothing's going to change either, guys. Right. There's no, until we lose at home, we're not out of the series. You're not going home. There's no home.
Yeah.
You're all playing. Well, this is exactly what you're doing for the next week.
I played in a 3 out of 5 series. It was 86, so I don't know how many years they did it. I don't remember, but we made the playoffs and we played Quebec. And they were a better team. They had all the star power. The Whalers made the playoffs for the first time in their history. And Noodles, it's just what you said. The goalie, Mike Liut, was our guy. He totally outplayed their guy in the first game, really not any of his fault. I think it was Mario Gosselin at the time. It wasn't really his fault, but Mike Liut was so good, we stole the first game. We had no business being in the game, and then we won it. And then the second game, they kind of panicked a bit, and we won the second game.
Yeah.
And they shut the door in game three. They mailed it in. We won 9-4 or something. Like, they just, you know, they were just done. But it was like literally in 5 days. One of the best teams in the league was gone, and I think a lot of it had to do with Mike basically stole the first game for us.
Yeah.
And then we got going.
And you add one more thing into this, and Pooley brought this up, and it's a fantastic point, is there's back-to-back games in this. Like, you're not, okay, you don't have 2 days to adjust, and you know, you're flying across, like Brian, you said. Like, you're in the bubble, and there's a chance, you know, with games 3 and 4, like, you're playing tomorrow. You throw up a dud, you're playing right back tomorrow. And I know both teams will be tired and both teams will be on the same level playing field. But, you know, a team gets on a heater for a week, they're in. A team struggles to find their game in that first week, they're going home. They're out of the bubble. That's it. Like, it's going to be a sprint for some of these teams.
In a week, basically a week from now, maybe 8 or 9 days, there's going to be 8 teams that are gone. Like, yeah. it's defined. The schedule has been made. There's no wavering. Right?
Yeah,
like,
and then those eight teams. And then those eight teams are hoping for the 12.5% for Alexi Lafreniere.
Right. Are you surprised that hasn't got more attention? Like, I think it will at some point. But
it will after it game one or two. Yeah.
One of these teams is going to have the first overall pick in 2 months.
But I think everybody's forgotten about it because there's, you know, lots to focus on. And pretty quickly, it's going to be one of the most interesting parts.
Well, you saw it. Lafreniere was trending the other night when the Leafs in Montreal were playing because people were like, all right, Montreal's already playing for Lafreniere. Like, that's, you know, you saw that trending on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But that's if Montreal loses game one, that's all they're going to be thinking about in the media in Toronto.
Montreal,
it's like,
for sure.
In Montreal, it's like, hey, it'd be nice to have, you know, a French-speaking kid that, you know, and you got a 12.5% chance to get him, too. That's it's a really good... You know, number,
very
it's great odds.
Very
yeah.
good odds. One in
but
eight.
But you're right, like, Brian, nobody's been talking about it yet, but they will, you know, probably 5 days from now, it'll all be somebody's talking about is who's going to get Lafreniere.
Yeah. Well, eight markets, that'll be the topic of discussion, you know,
for
recapping
sure.
the season, forecasting the future. But I think they're having the draft lottery 2.0 on, like, August 10th or something.
The
10th.
Yep, the 10th.
Yeah, so 10 days from now, we're going to know that eight teams are out, eight teams are in, and one team has won a lottery. So there's going to be a lot that happens.
Crazy, isn't it?
A lot that happens in 10 days. And, yeah, I can't wait for it.
Well, it's all going to start moving fast. And, you know, there's so much to look forward to, and I hope everybody's healthy and, you know, like the numbers stay the way they are and the games get off to a good start. Because I think it's going to take, you know, it'll be a little crazy and wild at first and then it'll settle in, but the pressure and the intensity will ramp up, you know, week by week. But I think it's going to be all over the place in the first couple of games, to be honest.
I think you're right. And we went around the table in the past hour, like, forecasting the most compelling cup winners, you know, for any possible reason. And O said, you know, a Canadian team because of the history it's been since 93. I said, you know, one of the 12th place teams, Chicago or Montreal, because they shouldn't even be here. And if they go on a cup run, that would be a pretty incredible story.
People are going to go wild if they get
crazy, crazy about that. But there's so many different options. And we all actually had Edmonton in for a variety of reasons. I said, you know, I would look at what the NBA likely knows they're going to get. They know they're going to get one of the LA teams in the finals. They know either LeBron or Kawhi will be there. Superstars that people can attach themselves to and say, let's go on this ride with them. The NHL doesn't always have that just based on the way the game is played, you know, in parity, and there's uncertainty at who's going to go on a run. And I think more than ever, I would want like a superstar to go on a run. And McDavid being that guy, the young kid who's taken over the league, unanimously accepted as the number one player in the world, likely will be there for another 10 years. That would be incredibly compelling, and I think it would be easy to market, and it would be the best-case scenario for the NHL.
I think so just think you're talking about then, you know, Edmonton against either Boston, Pittsburgh, or Washington. Because you got, you know, Boston's just an enormous market.
Big markets, exactly.
Right.
And then names.
But then you got Crosby and Ovechkin.
Yep, exactly.
And you know, and then so you're drawing in the star on both sides of the border or the big market on both sides of the border, you know, from the U.S. side. You're right. There may need to be a little bit of a hook. Although, if people are still wondering what's going on, you know, life-wise in September, man, you know, people are going to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you're like, this is, I don't know about you guys, but there's been lots of days here where you just kind of stare at the walls because there's nothing to do. There's nothing really to look forward to. You're thankful your family's is healthy, but you're like, man, there's really nothing to do. And then as soon as those exhibition games started, and for me, I love baseball, and when baseball started and golf, I was like, oh my, man, what a thing to be able to watch again. Like it gave me energy. It gave me, you know, it lifted. And so I think that same thing can happen with the playoffs, provided the health of the bubbles is good. I mean, that's the only thing that, in my mind, can knock the interest off the tracks.
Yeah, that's what's happening in baseball, because you're like, what the hell's going to go on? I mean, O was on last hour ago, and I think they're going to shut it down within a couple weeks. Like, you know, Manfred is now...
Well, there's a report out, that Manfred has spoken to Tony Clark, the head of the PA, and he's saying it wasn't necessarily a threat, it's just a reality. He's like, if we don't get this under control, we're done. Like, we have to cancel the season.
That's fair.
And so did Manfred realize this was his plan?
Well, exactly, but he's not going to... You know he's not going to take full responsibility. He's going to... pit it on the players and say...
I mean, what could go wrong? Let's fly around from city to city. They're going to be in moving bubbles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
like, seriously, how the heck can that work? I mean, at this time. Maybe it can in December. I don't know. It sure as hell can't now.
Did I not see in our group text, Brian, that there, like, one of the teams that tested positive was, like, out the night before at, like, a bar?
Yeah, there's some reports that Miami, when they were in Philly... They were in Philly and they were out, like they were wherever they were. I don't know whether it was a patio or bars or whatever. And now we know that 19 players have tested positive. So
man, they're signing guys all over the place too. If you've got a glove, you got a chance to get signed.
Honestly,
would you go, Ray, if you could play? I know you got a bad knee, but
I'd be like, man, this could be my chance. This could be it. Of course you'd have to think about it.
Just lean in and take one right off the head, and then at least you're on base, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're like, hey, listen, I factored in. I got on base. I got a 1,000 on base percentage. Right.
Look at
now.
Me. I'm
right
the guy. The I'm like the doctor in Field of Dreams. One at bat.
Just give him one.
That's it. And then it's, you know, sorry, Doc, you're off the field again.
That's all I'd be looking for. I'm with you on that.
By the way, I'm not leaving without talking about Bryson DeChambeau wanting a relief from fire ants.
Fire ants. Is he not the goofiest guy on tour?
How about, did you see the rules official dropping his walkie-talkie? He goes, I don't see anything. And he's thumping the thing on the ground. He's like, and DeChambeau, here he is, he's, you know, 245 pounds. He's like, there's one.
Yeah, I found one over there.
Step on it then. It's like he's 200. Oh, I just, that whole thing, I happened to turn it on and the replay was on. And I'm like, what am I watching? Oh, man, this is when he's asking for relief.
Every single round.
It was outstanding.
Every round he's looking for relief for different reasons. You know, where the fence begins, where it ends, a fire ant. Yeah. I guess today he came out and said he wants to live until he's 130
I saw
years
that.
Old.
Is he a pillar of health? Because he was acting in, I read the article, he was acting in the article like he's, like his body's a temple, and he's a little bit of a grit grinder, I think.
Yeah, he's a big dude, man.
All of a sudden he's going to live to 140 years old.
Well, it's just lunacy. Like, there's a part of me that wants to support it. Like, hey, yeah, I don't want to say I'm not going to advocate for you being alive. You know, like, that's kind of a tough take. But I'm also a realist. You're not living until you're 130 years old. Like, nobody is. So get it together, Bryson.
Well, maybe there's another one. I don't know.
I don't know either. But he is a fascinating cat. I'll give him that, man. When he's playing, I'm watching. And I don't know what he's going to do next. But he is a soap opera on tour.
I had to leave on that because I thought it was entertaining. I gotta go and tape Sports Center, boys. I know I was ducked on you guys, but anyway, enjoy the weekend.
Week.
Lots to watch. We'll talk on Monday, but
you
this will be
it.
A great weekend, eh?
It's gonna be fun. Enjoy it out there.
Yeah,
there
be well, boys. See ya.
Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom is open. They're taking the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland, or buy online at Maple Toyota. .com. So baseball, again, 20% of the league isn't playing. It's postponed based on COVID. But as of now, the schedule continues. The NBA is off and running. The Cup playoffs begin tomorrow. The PGA Tour is going. MLS's back continues. What a sports weekend.
That is. You are going to be couching.
Yes, I am intending on couching. I am looking forward to it.